Chapter 15. The next day, Granny June calls me to ask if I can bring her to lunch at the Elder Center on Sugar Island. Sure, I say without hesitation. I'll let my mom know I need the car. Don't worry about that. I'll see you at 11, hey? My heart skips a beat when the Jeep pulls into the driveway. Granny June is the tiny figure behind the wheel. She hops out and gives me a wave before walking around to her usual spot as co-pilot. If Granny can drive, then why does she need me? It feels weird sitting in Lily's seat. My head grazes the roof. My knees wedge uncomfortably beneath the steering wheel. I lower the height of the seat and move it as far back as it will go. When I turn too quickly into the ferry parking lot, the tires call out for Lily. Granny smiles through tears. In that instant, I want to tell her about the investigation. Justice for Lily. I stay quiet. On the ferry ride, she takes a pouch of Sema from her purse and offers me a pinch. This constant flow means it's a new river each time we cross, and we should honor the journey. Granny tells me, these are old teachings. I haven't always kept them up, hey? I join her as she tosses the Sema out the window, where it and our whispered prayers are carried on the breeze to float downriver. Granny June crushes my hand in hers when we walk into the elder's dining room. This is why she needed me. It wasn't about the ride at all. She takes a seat next to Minnie Mustang. Minnie's actual last name is Manitou. But when she bought a Ford Mustang the color of a ripe tomato, Minnie got a new nickname. She purchased it when she turned 75, telling everyone it was her midlife crisis car. Granny pats my hand when I bring her a cup of coffee. Me glitch, my girl. Dark and bitter. Just like my first husband. Gets you riled up too, hot stuff, Minnie adds. They both laugh. I get in line behind John Z. Kiwaden, TJ's grandpa. He used to be nearly as tall as TJ, but now he's closer to my height. You call this a pasty? John Z grumbles when the lunch lady hands him a plate with a baked meat pie, folded in half with crimped edges, filled inside with diced beef and root vegetables. What do you got to say about this here pasty? She asks in mock indignation. I don't have enough years left to tell you what all's wrong with it, he yells. She gives me a wink as John Z walks away. I fix a tray for Granny. Elders are always served first. I'll come back for my own food after the line goes down. I bring Granny June a salad, a pasty, and a bottle of ketchup. Minnie makes the sign of the cross at the sin of frosting a pasty with anything but gravy. Minnie asks about my classes. I rattle them off. American literature? That college better include Mishner, Granny says it like a threat. Lily and I used to drive Granny and Minnie to garage sales in their quest for James Mishner hardcover editions with pristine book covers. I once tried reading Hawaii, but never made it past the initial chapter describing the island's origins millions of years ago. Lava eruption breaking the ocean surface and birds pooping out seeds from faraway lands. I get myself yogurt and salad, thankful that my eating habits have returned to normal. Auntie walks into the dining room and I'm wrapped in her arms a heartbeat later. Everything goes quiet as I inhale her wonderful teddy smell, designer perfume, contraband cigarettes, and a scent that reminds me of the woods just after it rains. My throat closes up the instant I think about telling her what's going on. Granny June mentioned Auntie having felonies. Why neither woman can run for council. If it's true, would I be putting her at risk if I said anything about the investigation? Auntie has a peaceful life with Art and the girls. She used to date hellraisers. Bad dudes, she called them. Art taught her that love wasn't supposed to be a roller coaster. It could be a walk in the woods. She told me there's a phrase in our beautiful language for when you no longer walk alone on your path, but are together for the journey on this earth. Wijindaween. I stay silent. From across the room, John Z shouts his usual greeting at her, the one he uses on every tribal council member and program director who drops by for lunch. Hey, big cheese, how much are we paying you? Auntie responds, Not what I'm worth, Johnsy, but just enough so I'll stick around. Granny June and I stay after lunch for the social activities. Some elders speak Anishinaabe Moin while they work on puzzles together. Others speak English, with Ojibwe words added liberally like salt on bland food. There's a book club and a Tai Chi group. Granny usually argues about tribal politics with a cabal of fellow dissidents who don't care for most of the tribal council's decisions, but spar loudly over the alternatives. Since today is Friday, Euchre Day, Granny and Minnie sit opposite each other at a card table, blinking secret codes to let the other know what suit they're holding and if they've got any bowers. It would be an unfair advantage if their opponents weren't doing the same damn thing. Johnsy comes over and asks if anyone wants to go bottle collecting with him. I remember his obsession with finding collectibles down at the old landfill site south of town. At a nearby table, Sini asks Auntie about harvesting gishik anibishin, cedar leaves, on the island. A group of Nishkwewag will be going this weekend. Gawin, Auntie shakes her head. No. She speaks quickly in the language. I manage to catch two words, Enegazi and Kwezan, grief and little girl. I fight the urge to run back into her arms and cry like a baby. Auntie is joining Granny June and me as we honor our mourning period for Lily. Not harvesting medicines for a year, among other protocols. The traditions I told Ron and Jamie about yesterday at Tequemanon Falls. I reassured Ron I'd find other ways to obtain information about traditional medicines, especially those that might induce hallucinations. I should have prayed this morning for Mana Dindamoin, since to act without harm is to know respect. There is power in what I am going through. It's my responsibility to observe the protocols and protect others during this traditional grieving period. Johnsy walks behind each euchre player, checking out their cards. He grimaces at Minnie's hand. During the 3 months that I was TJ's girlfriend, I spent a lot of time with the Kiwadens. I always liked TJ's family, especially his grandpa. Johnsy was always telling stories. Sometimes I'd need to hang in there to find the teaching in his meandering, animated anecdotes. Wait a minute. Johnsy is a talker, full of teachings. TJ didn't like his grandpa going by himself to the landfill in search of antique treasures. Hey, Grandpa Johnsy, I call out. You still looking for someone to go collecting with you?